plushcare.com. Healthcare that makes you smile. Virtual primary care and mental health treatments when you need it. Get personalized, high-quality healthcare by talking to top U.S. medical doctors, all from the ease of your smartphone. Care for you and the ones you love most. High quality. Our highly skilled online doctors are trained at the top U.S. medical schools with an average of 15 years experience. Our online doctors give you and your entire family the peace of mind you should expect from your healthcare provider. Convenient? Just book an appointment, that chat via video on your smartphone, and pick up your prescription from your pharmacy. Our advanced technology is integrated with most major insurers, labs, and pharmacies. Affordable? Talking to an online doctor has never been easier and more affordable. For just your copay or just $99 per visit, you can get quality care from one of our highly skilled online doctors. We are in network with most major insurers in the U.S. and provide care in all 50 states. Over 450,000 patients cared for. Hope you had a good week. Today we'll be talking about the life and crimes of Charles Carl Panzram, June 28, 1891 to September 5, 1930, was an American serial killer, rapist, arsonist, robber, and burglar. In prison confessions and his autobiography, he claimed to have committed 22 murders, most of which could not be corroborated, and over 1,000 acts of sodomy of boys and men. After a series of imprisonments and escapes, he was executed in 1930 for the murder of a prison employee at Leavenworth Federal Prison. Early life. Born in East Grand Forks, Minnesota, the son of East Russian immigrants Johann and Matilda Gottlieb Panzram. Panzram was raised on his family's farm with 8 siblings. Carl Panzram felt odd from a young age. By the age of 5 or 6, he was a liar and a thief, and claimed to become meaner the older he grew. In 1899, Panzram was in juvenile court on a charge of being drunk and disorderly. In 1903, he was arrested in jail for being drunk and incorrigible. In 1903, at the age of 11, he stole some cakes, apples, and a revolver from a neighbor's home. In October 1903, his parents sent him to the Minnesota State Treatment School. While there, he was repeatedly beaten, tortured, and raped by staff members in what attendants dubbed the paint shop, because children would leave painted wall with bruises and blood. Panzram hated this place of torture so much that he decided to burn it down, and did so without a detection on July 4th. 1905. In January 1906, Panzram was paroled from Red Ring Training School after stealing money from his mother's pocketbook. By his teens, he was an alcoholic and was repeatedly in trouble with the authorities, often for burglary and thefts. He ran away from home at the age of 14, a couple of weeks after his parole, and merely 2 weeks after he attempted to kill a Lutheran clerk. With a revolver to become a hobo. He often traveled via train cars. He later claimed that he was once gang raped by a group of hobos aboard a train. Crimes? Early crimes. Panzram claimed that after escaping from a Montana State Reform School, along with an inmate named Jimmy Benson, both were involved in a string of burglaries, robberies, and arsons throughout the Midwest until they split up. In 1907, at the age of 15, after getting drunk in a saloon in Montana, Panzram enlisted in the United States Army. Shortly thereafter, he was convicted of larceny and served a prison sentence from April 20, 1908 to 1910 at Fort Leavenworth, United States Disciplinary Barracks. Secretary of War William Hartown approved the sentence. Panzram later claimed that any goodness left in him was smashed out during his Leavenworth imprisonment. After his latest and dishonorable discharge, Panzram resumed his career as a thief, stealing anything from bicycles to yachts, and was caught and imprisoned multiple times. He served time under his own name and various aliases in Fresno. Russ, Texas, the Dalles, Oregon, Harrison, Idaho, Butte, Montana, Montana State Reform School, Montana State Prison, Florida State Penitentiary, Bridgeport, Connecticut, Sing Sing Correctional Facility, Clinton Correctional Facility, and Washington, D.C. While incarcerated, Pants Rabbit frequently attacked officers and refused to follow their orders. The officers retaliated, subjecting him to beatings and other punishments. His autobiography, Panzer, wrote that he was rage personified and that he would often rape men whom he had robbed, and noted for his large stature and great physical strength due to years of hard labor at Leavenworth and other prisons, which aided him in overpowering most men he encountered. He also engaged in vandalism and arson by his own admission, and one of the few times he did not engage in criminal activities was when he was employed as a strike breaker against union employees. On one occasion, he tried to sign aboard as a ship steward on an army transport vessel, but was discharged when he reported to work intoxicated. Escalating violence. Panzram claimed in his 1929 autobiography that after serving a short sentence at Rust, Texas, he went to Ciudad Juarez in the winter of 1910 to try to enlist in the Federal Mexican Army. He was then left on a train for Del Rio, Texas, and got off in a small town 50 to 100 miles, 80 to 161 kilometers east of El Paso, where about a mile south of that town, he claimed to have abducted, assaulted, kicked, and strangled a man, and then stole $35 from the victim. In the summer of 1911, Panzram, going by the alias Jefferson Davis, was arrested in Fresno for stealing a bicycle. He was sentenced to 6 months in county jail, but escaped after 30 days. In 1913, Panzram, going by the alias Jack Allen, was arrested in the Dalles, Oregon, for highway robbery, assault, and sodomy. He broke out of jail after two to three months. While he was on the run, he used the alias Jeff Davis. He was arrested in Harrison, Idaho, but again escaped from county jail. He was arrested in Chinook, Montana, under the alias Jefferson Davis, and sentenced to 1 year in prison for burglary to be served at the Montana State Prison. On April 27, 1913, Panzram, using his Jefferson Davis alias, was admitted to the state prison at Deer Lodge, Montana. He escaped on November 13. Within a week, he was arrested, giving his name as Jeff Rhodes in Three Forks for burglary, and returned to Deer Lodge for an additional year. He was released on March 3, 1915. On June 1st, Panzram burglarized a house in Astoria, Oregon, and was arrested soon after while attempting to sell some of the stolen items. He was sentenced to 7 years in prison and to be served at the Oregon State Penitentiary in Salem, Oregon, where he arrived on June 24th. Warden Harry Minton believed in harsh treatment of inmates, including beatings and isolation, among other disciplinary measures. Later, Panzram stated that he swore he would never do that 7 years, and I defy the warden and all his officers to make me. Later that year, Panzram helped fellow inmate Otto Hooker escape from prison while attempting to evade capture. Hooker killed Minto, marking Panzram's first known involvement in a murder as an accessory before the fact. In his prison record, he falsely gave his age as 30 and his place of birth as Alabama. The one true bit of autobiography he did give was his occupation, thief. Panzram was disciplined several times while at Salem, including 61 days in solitary confinement. Before escaping in September 18, 1917, after two shootouts, he was recaptured and returned to the prison. On May 12, 1918, he escaped once again by sawing through the bars of his cell and caught a freight train heading east. He began going by the name John O'Leary and shaved off his mustache. He would never return to the Northwest. Allegedly, he ended up in New York City, got a seaman identification card, sailed on the steamship James S. Whitney to Panama, where he tried to steal a small boat as the help of a drunken sailor who killed everyone on board and was arrested. Panzram traveled to Peru to work at a copper mine and then traveled to Chile, Port Arthur, Texas, London, Edinburgh, Paris, and Hamburg. murder spree. In August 1920, Pantheon burglarized the William H. Taft Mansion in New Haven, Connecticut, a home of William Howard Taft, whom he held responsible for his Leavenworth imprisonment. He stole a large amount of jewelry and bonds, as well as Taft's Colt M1911 45 caliber handgun. He then began a murder spree that spanned 8 years in multiple countries. With the stolen money from Taft, he bought a yacht and the Akista. He lured sailors away from New York City bars, got them drunk, raped them, and shot them with Taft's pistol, then dumped their bodies near Execution Rock Light in Long Island Sound. He claimed to have killed 10 in all. The Salem murders ended only after the Akista ran aground and sank near Atlantic City, his last two potential victims escaping to parts unknown. On October 26, 1920, Pantheon, using the pseudonym General Larry, was arrested in Stamford, Connecticut for burglary and possession of a loaded gun. In 1921, he served 6 months in jail in Bridgeport, Connecticut. Pantheon then caught a ship to southern Africa and landed in Luanda, the capital of colonial Portuguese Angola. In 1921, Pantheon was foreman of an oil rig in Angola and later burned the rig down out of spitefulness. He later claimed that while there, he raped and killed a boy estimated to be 11 years old. In his confession to his murder, he wrote, "His brains were coming out of his ears when I left him, and he will never be any deader." He also claimed that he hired a boat with 6 rowers, shot the rowers with a lure pistol, and threw the bodies to the crocodiles. After his return to the United States, Pantheon asserted he raped and killed 2 small boys, beating one to death with a rock on July 18, 1922 in Salem, Massachusetts, and strangled the other later that year near New Haven. After his murder spree in Salem, Pantheon worked as a night watchman at Abbey Coal Mill Factory at Yonkers. He made a sexual acquaintance with a 15-year-old boy named George Wallison in Providence. He stole a yaw lamp, sailed to New Haven for victims to rob and rape, and boats to steal. In June 1923, in New Rochelle, New York, he stole a yacht belonging to a police chief of New Rochelle. He picked up Wallison and promised him a job on the boat, but instead sodomized him. On June 27th, on the river near Kingston, New York, Pantheon claimed he used a 38 caliber pistol from the stolen yacht to kill a man attempting to rob him on the yacht. Pantheon threw the body into the river. On June 28th, Pantheon and Wallison docked at Poughkeepsie. Pantheon stole $1,000 worth of fishing nets at Newburgh, New York. Wallison, after witnessing the murder, jumped overboard and swam to shore. He reported to the police at Yonkers he was sexually assaulted by Pantheon, and an alert went out for Captain John O'Leary. On June 29th, John O'Leary was arrested in Nyack, New York. On July 9th, Pantheon tried to escape from jail. He later conned his lawyer by giving him ownership of a stolen boat in return for bail money. Pantheon skipped bail and the boat was confiscated by the government agents. On August 26th, O'Leary was arrested in Larchmont, New York after breaking into a trade depot. 3 days later, on August 29th, O'Leary was cleared as a suspect in a stabbing death committed a month prior of Dorothy Kaufman of Greenberg, New York. He was sentenced to 5 years in prison while in county jail. He confessed to the alias Jeff Baldwin, and he was wanted in Oregon. In October, Pantheon was imprisoned at Clinton Prison in Danmore, New York. He was discharged in July 1928, and he allegedly committed a murder in Baltimore in the summer of 1928. Capture and execution. On August 3rd, 1928, Pantheon was arrested in Baltimore for a Washington, D.C. burglary, stealing a radio and jewelry from the home of a dentist on August 20th. During his interrogation, he confessed to killing 3 young boys earlier that month, one in Salem, one in Connecticut, and a 14-year-old newsboy in Philadelphia. Pantheon later wrote that he had contemplated mass killings and other acts of mayhem, such as poisoning a city's water supply with arsenic, or scuttling a British warship in New York Harbor to provoke a war between the United States and Britain. In light of the extensive criminal record, he received a 25 years to life sentence upon arriving at Lettenberg Federal Penitentiary. Inmate number 31614, he warned the warden, "I'll kill the first man that bothers me," and was given a solitary job in the prison laundry room. On June 20, 1929, he beat their prison laundry foreman, Robert Warnke, to death with an iron bar and was sentenced to death. He refused to allow any appeals of his sentence in response to offers from death penalty opponents and human rights activists to the media. He wrote, "The only thanks you and your kind will ever get from me for your efforts on my behalf is that I wish you all had one neck and that I had my hands on it." While on death row, Panzer was befriended by an officer named Henry Lesser, who gave him money to buy cigarettes. Panzer was so astonished by this one act of kindness that after Lesser provided him with writing materials, Panzer, while waiting, wrote a detailed summary of his crimes and nihilistic philosophy. In this, he made it quite clear that he did not repent, and at least of all the robberies, murders, rapes, and arsons he had been involved in, it began with a straightforward statement: "In my lifetime, I have murdered 21 human beings. I have committed thousands of burglars, robberies, larcenies, arsons, and last but not least, I have committed suicide on more than 1,000 male human beings. For all these things, I am not in the least bit sorry." Panzer was hanged on September 5, 1930. His officer attempted to place a black hood over his head. He allegedly spat in the executioner's face. When asked for any last words, he responded, "Yes, hurry it up, you Hoosier bastard. I could kill a dozen men while you're screwing around." His grave at the Leavenworth Penitentiary Cemetery is marked only with his prison number 31614. Legacy. In 1938, Carl Menninger wrote Mad Against Himself, including writing about Panzer using the pen name John Smith, with Panzer in prison number 31614. Former prisoner guard Henry Lesser preserved Panzer's letters and autobiographical manuscript and spent the next 4 decades in search of a publisher willing to print the material. It was released in 1970 under the title Killer, A Journal of Murder. In 1996, the book formed the basis of a film of the same name, starring James Wood as Carl Panzram and Robert Sean Leonard as Henry Lesser. In 1980, Lesser donated Panzram's materials to San Diego State University, where they are housed as the Carl Panzram Papers and Malcolm A. Love Library. In 2012, filmmaker John Borowski released a documentary entitled Carl Panzram, The Spirit of Hatred and Vengeance. Notes: Panzram claimed the jewelry and bonds were worth $40,000. Taft reported that his wife's jewelry was only worth a few $1,000. The Massachusetts victim was identified as Henry McMahon. The New London, Connecticut police announced in October 1928 they were unable to corroborate Panzram's confession, but in August 1923, a crime scene consistent with Panzram's description was discovered near New Haven. The Connecticut Bridge Code Telegram published reports on the decomposed unknown victim remains found on August 10th. And August 11th, another report of the murdered victim appeared in the Connecticut newspaper. The day, allegedly, the Connecticut victim was age 16 and was the son of a nephew of a Brooklyn, New York policeman. Thank you for listening to this episode of The Life and Crimes of Carl Panzram. Have a good week and stay safe.